Chazal to conclude, to finish with, before we go further. On page 898, on the bottom of the page it says, let's start from Mai Ad Bli Doi, on page 898, in the very bottom of the page, where it says, Lekutei Shas, Umidrashi Atanoi, Mai, what is Mai Ad Bli Doi? Omar Rami Baruch Omar Rami, Barav, Barav, Ad Sheyivlu, Sifse, Sech, Milamodai. Okay, that was the list we did last week, Milamodai. We really did not give good answers. Why would a person's lips be worn out from saying Modai? We mentioned last week that there are five parts of the sound comes from five different parts of the person's Kriya Chadibra, the lips, the teeth, the throat, the tongue, and deeper down the palate. Okay, there are five different parts of a person's I don't know what the correct word is, but there are five, and the letter Dai does not come from the lips. So why would a person's lips get worn out from saying the word Dai? I don't have a good answer. We tried to play around with this last week, that we don't maybe pronounce the word Dai, the Dalit, correctly. Even if we say the does not come from the lips. Not my
own. What else would you say? I mean, seriously, what else would you say?
What do you mean?
Your teeth would be worn out from saying die. Your tongue.
No, when you shut your lips.
Yes.
No sound will come.
No sound will be. So you have to really open up your lips. You still have to open up your lips to say the word die. Okay, I don't know.
It doesn't have to mean literally.
Okay, so that, right, but I mean, it must be.
When it refers to speech, that's the part that it refers to.
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaroi.
Amen.
Okay, but we did it. We did one thing that we always like to say is that the song Dayenu, Ilu Hotzenu Min Mitzrayim, like Asa Lohem Shefatim Dayenu, that song is built upon this Maimon Chazal. Because every single word at the end of the expression is Dayenu. The Shoresh of the word Dayenu is Dai. And especially when we have the custom, I mean, to sing the song Dai Dayenu, Dayenu, keep on saying the word Dai 1,000 times. So the word Dai, this is Mamashe Kikim, the Kikim that when we say, we discussed this lesson, is that you know, almost all the things that it says over there in the Dayenu are not blessings of Gashmis. These are spiritual blessings. Ilu Ha'otzionu Mimitzrev Lo Yisavachem Shepatim Zara Dayenu. Okay, we do mention, I think, we do say there, but the vast majority of the items that we mentioned over there in that Nusach are spiritual blessings. Matan Torah, Har Sinai, Shavos, Yitzias Mitzrayim. And so it's interesting is that when we read this psukim over here, very closely lochem birocha ad blidai, the average person thinks he has so many assets, we can't keep track of what's doing in Florida, in Hamptons, in Eretz Yisrael, in Los Angeles, all of his properties, possessions. And yet when you look at the appeal that was composed in order to bring out Sheyivlu Sif Sarsecha Miloy Mardai, 99% of the things that I mentioned that period which bring out this bracha are brachas of ruchnius, not of gashmius. This goes to show that the average person is not really focused on what bracha really is. We think bracha is, the primary is gashmius, parnasa, where we're set. Okay, and then we'll come, we'll sit and learn, we'll give over part of our day to serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the opposite. The bracha, nika bracha is...
Where does family fit in?
What?
Bracha. Part of that bracha is family, is that, you know,
I would imagine spiritual. I would imagine that that's not the. You know, it's all a matter of what the purpose. What the purpose is. You have more children so they can be workers and they can manage the business. Then it's obviously a physical. But if the purpose of having children is that they should serve Hashem, avodas Hashem, be good Jews, then obviously that's a spiritual blessing. So It's interesting over here that this is a bracha, and the bracha of Yeshivim is a little bit. It has to have something much deeper to this interpretation. Also, what's very interesting about that piyot, this is something just in general, like that Pesach drasha. You go through a long list of ilu holtzim misrim v'loisavam shvatim dayen, ilu asavam shvatim v'loi nasaman v'esmoinim dayen. You go through a long list, and then you finally come to Eretz. The last is Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael, and then it's v'nasaman v'esbeis sabachim. And after you go and you say Dayenu, and after you say Dayenu, you then review everything in the piyut, but you add one more thing. L'chaper al avonoseinu. Right, so you go through, you have a whole long list of items in the Dayenu, in the piyut, and after each stanza you say the word Dayenu, and then at the end you summarize. You read through the entire list of items in this field, and you conclude with the expression "lechaper al chatoyseinu." We have the Beis Hamikdash, and through the Beis Hamikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives us atonement. Wait a minute, "lechaper al chatoyseinu" was not one al kol avonoseinu was not part of the list. That is not included in the list of dayenus. That's like an appendage. That what's going on? So the answer, there's a lot of obviously looking at the Haggadahs, many different, there's the obvious question, why in general you have to review? And what's the purpose of reviewing everything after you say all the Dayenu? Why do you have to review all the components and omit the word Dayenu? And then when you're giving a summary, why are you adding one more item that's not part of the list? So there are many answers. Obviously the answers all capture the idea that the sum is greater than the parts. Each one by itself is very nice, but when you add up 1 plus 2 plus 3, 1 plus 1 plus 1, you add them all up, the sum, the whole is greater than the parts. The whole captures... The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. I don't know the expression, idiom. The sum is greater than the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and that is brought out with l'chaper al kol avonoseinu. Okay, now why is that? So what is that mean exactly? So there, you can obviously every Haggadah will find another interpretation, but if we could come actually connect it to what we're learning here today, here we're focusing on actually yivlu sif soisech and mulam odai. What the Baal HaGadah is doing is, the ultimate dai is l'chaper al kol avonoseinu. In other words, each line you conclude with dayenu. And then what you do is, you take all of the lines and you say dayenu. What is the dayenu of everything together? The word Dayenu transforms into Lechaper al kol avonoseinu. Why is Lechaper al kol avonoseinu called Dai? Okay, one second, let's turn this out over here.
Let me
laugh.
Let me
laugh. The cups is always a shoe, a commodity of there are no cups left. The expression of after you summarize everything together, the last expression, l'chaper al kol avonoseinu, that is dayenu. That's the pattern. Each line concludes with dayenu, and then when you build up the entire thing, you take all the lines together. Where's the dayenu? where is the concluding dayenu? And the answer is the dayenu at the very end is lechaper al kol avoino seinu. Why is al kol avoino seinu called day? Why? I don't know. I forgot the zog. There's an explanation of that last expression, to atone for all of our sins, is called enough. Maybe we'll come over, we'll see what it's called. Die. The first sin, what was the first sin? Adam HaRishon. Right? He ate from the eighth sadas. And the chet, the punishment comes to a point in time where Kadosh Baruch Hu, he says, die, it's enough, you've been punished enough. Noach, last week's parasha, Zeyinachameinu, well, really goes back to the previous parasha, Parasha Reish, Zeyinachameinu Nimasein, and the Itzvon Yodeinu, Rashi there says, that in the generation of Noach, the punishment came to an end. We think that the curse of Bezeyas Apecha Toicha Lechem goes on to forever. I mean, it sure seems like that. Okay, but Rashi in the parasha there says is that the curse of the Zeyas Apecha Toicha Lechem came to an end with Noach's generation.
People are still perspiring and working.
I just told you this is a tzorch in Godful Ad Ma'od. I agree with you. Okay, to make 10 cents, to make one penny.
I thought it had to do with his technological innovation.
It's part of it. But Rashi on the pasuk says that the earth and the generation of Noach, the main curse was that the earth would produce thorns. Thorns in this, and when you would eat the food in the bread, you'd be eating thorns. That's what Rashi says. The earth would produce thorns and thistles as it came out of the ground, and when you ate the bread, in your bread there were thorns, which obviously it wasn't too comfortable to eat thorns. And I don't know all the details, but Rashi does say explicitly that the curse of the Zeyas Sapecha Teich Alechem, that Adam was cursed from the time of the Eitz Hadas, came to an end in the generation of Noach. Rabbi Chol wants to embellish that by saying that until the time of Noach, people would plow with their bare hands. And it was very difficult, very painful. When Noach came along, he invented Machareish, he invented the plow. So now, when there was a plow, it was much easier to work the land. The sweat was not as intense, the intensity. It came to an end. What do you mean it came to an end? Where did it say ever that it should come to an end? If Hashem cursed man, the curse should go on forever.
It didn't say anything about an end. It said a respite.
No, I think it was an end. At Khan. Okay, we have to go back and look at the Rashi in detail.
Doesn't Rashi say that's why he was called Noach?
They came to rest. They came because now the curse is over. It appears that the curse came to it. So in other words, what happened? Hashem said, die. Hashem said, enough. We say when Hashem forgives us for our sins, in essence, Hashem is saying, die. Enough. I punished you, and now the time is enough. The punishment does not have to go on forever. The punishment comes to an end. So therefore, that is in essence, this is a drush. Can you go look in the Haggadahs? Maybe you'll find one of the Haggadahs. The Haggadahs explains, we have this beautiful piyut, and the piyut goes through a long list. I think maybe there are 15 items in that list.
Yes.
There are 15 items in that list, and then at the end of the list we go and we review the 15 items and we add a 16th item. Why do you have to review? Two questions. Why do you have to review it all together? And if you're going to review it, who gave you permission to add item number 16? There are only 15. And the answer is item number 16 is Dayenu. It's not another item. All of the first 15 items are like one sentence, and item number 16 is the Dayenu of the 15 items. What is the Dayenu? By Hashem giving us all of these blessings, the Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us an opportunity to serve him. Okay, he gave us, he took us out of Mitzrayim, and he gave us Parnas, and he gave us this, so that he can give us it all the way to Eretz Yisrael and the Torah, so we can have a Beis Hamikdash, so we can serve Hashem. And what is the purpose of giving all of these things? So we can serve Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash and bring Korbanos, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say, Dayenu. We say to Hashem, wow, look how good you are to us. Dayenu, 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 Dayenu. And Hashem reciprocates, and Hashem says, now I am going to say to you, Dayenu. What is Hashem's Dayenu? Enough. Die. You don't have to suffer anymore. The suffering will come to an end when I will forgive you for your sins. L'chaper al kol avoyno seinu. That in essence is Hashem's Dayenu. Okay, so this is a drush on the Haggadah, on Rosh Hashanah, right before we come to Chanukah. Does anyone get what I just said? Or what all the things I just said? I just told you a drush on Pesach, on Rosh Hashanah, because today is the first day of Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yomi, right. And we're holding now Erev Chanukah. If you want to talk about mixing up the holidays, we just did it right now. Okay, so this is the important part of Ad Blida. We have a song, a zemer, a drush. Now let's go to another Maamar Chazal. It's on the second line, on the beginning, on page 898, the second line. Ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan liyinukud Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan found a child of Reish Lakish. This was his nephew. It's very good. If you know all the relationships in the Gemara, it's a whole new world. He probably does that, Rabbi Dr. Abrams on the old off. I don't really get a chance to listen too much anymore to that.
He probably Abramson.
He probably does all these. It really gives you a whole new dimension. If you really know the people, the names in the Gemara, who they were when they lived, and how they were related to one another, and their personalities, the daf comes to life like never before. So we know that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish were chavrusas. And we know that Reish Lakish, he was a head of the mafia. He was the head of the mafia, Reish Lakish. And Rabbi Yochanan went and had a conversation, and he told him, why don't you do to be choyzeh b'shuva? Rabbi Yochanan was from the outreach people. And he convinced him, and not only gave him, if you do teshuva, you can marry my sister. Would you go over to a guy in the street and say to him, say to a guy in the street, you know, a mafia guy, you go, avashuch, you can marry my sister? Very unlikely. Okay, but that is what Rabbi Yochanan did. Rabbi Yochanan wanted to convince Reish Lakish to do teshuva, and he married his sister, and they were chavrusas, and now he has a child. So he says to his nephew, it's leaking out of hand over here with this, and I think maybe we should just keep the door open. Seniors is supposed to go the other door, not this door. Okay, so we have over here, he finds his nephew. Ashechei Rabbi Yochanan liyinukud Reish Lakish amalei emeli pesukoch. I think it's pesukech. I think there's an error in the Niku, pesukech. Tell me, well, this was a form of prophecy. In ancient times, after prophecy, there was a baskol. And after a bas kol, there was, if you want to get a divine message, you say to a child, tell me, what did you learn today? This, the only reason why this doesn't work today is because the children don't know Tanakh. If the children wouldn't be learning Tanakh fluently, you know, you can go ask any kid on the bus, what did you learn today? I'll tell you a pasuk in Amos, a pasuk in Habakkuk, a pasuk in Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, you know, they'll tell you a pasuk in the middle of nowhere. Problem is we adults don't know what they're talking about. But in time of Chazal, they knew the psuk, they knew everyone knew Tanakh in their inside out in their sleep. So yes, Kachal knew what you learned today. That was a message. The truth is this also does apply today. So love it the good day today.
I think there's a class.
Is a class there?
There's a whiteboard and chairs set up in the kitchen.
In the kitchen?
Yeah.
Having a class in the kitchen?
Yeah.
They have two tables set up with like eight chairs. I don't know what they.
Yeah, there's a whiteboard there.
I'm surprised they didn't ask us to go out. Go to the.
In the old days, we used to be up there. They used that sometimes.
No, not them. Oh, they're probably going to ask us to go back then. All right, we have to find out what's going on. We have to probably move back to the other room then. All right, we'll have to see.
They can't chase us out because this room is set up for the Zoom.
Hakesef ya'ane es hakol.
They have room downstairs. They have room downstairs.
So why are they in the kitchen? Why are they up here then? They have room downstairs.
I don't know. It's an ESL room.
Oh, so they're gonna end. I know they're gonna ask us to move out.
Last week they did it downstairs.
All right,
Mayor, you'll solve the problem. There's a lot. You'll solve next. Yeah.
You're Dr. Phil. We have Dr. Phil solves problems. He's very famous throughout the world.
Okay.
All right, I gotta figure this out.
Gotta lower his volume.
All right. In the meantime, let's over here. Today there is still one thing, and it's really very spooky, and it still works today. If you go to shul, and you get an aliyah out of nowhere, you go to shul Monday, Thursday, you come to shul Shabbos Mincha, Shabbos morning, and the gabbai, and you're not scheduled. It's one thing a person has yard sight, and like, I'm getting maftir, and this. No, a person just randomly, a gabbai randomly goes over to you, shlishi, chamishi, and you get an aliyah. This is a minor prophecy. And what you're supposed to do is, you're supposed to, after you get your aliyah, go back, take out a chumash, go over what they've read for you very carefully. Go through the Rashis very carefully. Every person is dealing with a situation in life. There's no question about it. Every person has on his mind something that's bothering him, a dilemma. That's the way life goes. No free lunch. Everyone has an issue. If you get an aliyah, Hashem is speaking to you. Hashem is giving you a message. Go to the pasuk, go over the aliyah, what they've read for you, read the psukim, read the rashis very carefully. There will inevitably be something that sticks out, that just jumps out at you and is the answer to something that is bothering you. Okay, this is tried and tested. Is that the expression? Tried and tested? This just to pay attention. Now, of course, this only works when it just happens out of nowhere. We're not talking about a situation where, like, okay, I know what I want, and I'm going to arrange with the gabbai, you give me this aliyah, so I... Baruch, did you ever have this? Baruch was the gabbai. You gave out thousands of aliyahs in your career. Do you ever have such a thing like this?
Many. I was a gabbai.
Oh, you're also a gabbai.
Many times, siyata d'shmaya, it's unbelievable. Didn't know the person's birthday. Didn't know the person had this.
But more than message,
and
a message.
And the message is it. I can't count the times.
I met my
just this Shabbos for myself. I saw some.
Right, it's an amazing thing.
There's a siyata d'shmaya of a gabbai giving out an aliyah to somebody.
There's a message in the aliyah. But I think the Gra, if I'm not mistaken, the Gra says this. I think it's a Gra. You get an aliyah. This is what we have. So yeah, we used to have prophecy. It used to be the Urim V'Tumim. You go to the Kohen Gadol. You ask Hashem. The letters light up. The letters on the Choshen light up. That the Kohen Gadol needs to have Ruach HaKodesh to put the letters together to make sense out of it. Okay, that's also a Grosso Chochma Tziat V'Shemayim. Then you have prophecy. Hashem speaks to clients. Hashem speaks to people. There were 1.2 million prophets. You go to the Navi. You have a dilemma. The Navi tells you what Hashem says. The prophecy came to an end. There was a baskel. Every so often, the in Shemayim, there are messages coming out of Shemayim. No more baskel. What was next? Next thing is, you go to a child. Tell me, what did you learn in yeshiva today? And the child says a pasuk. Hashem is speaking right to you, telling you, giving you a very clear message. And today we don't have even that. Do the technicalities because the children don't know Tanakh, and we wouldn't know what they're, and even if they did know Tanakh, we wouldn't know what they're talking about. So what do we have left? The only thing we have left, really, it's not a joke, is he getting aliyah?
So So if prophecy was given to fools and children, and now you're saying their children don't have it anymore,
well,
it leaves us with fools, right?
Well, I don't know. Fool, we don't. The fools. They're not going to tell you what it says in Tanakh. The fools are not going to tell you. So the fools are going to. I don't think the fools today have much of a prophecy. But this thing at least is the Davar Shabbat Kedusha, Sefer Torah, Davar Shabbat Kedusha. It really is spooky. Look, I know someone. I'll tell you very quickly this story. I probably told you this story. It really spooks me out to no end. This story. There's a person who. He's a wealthy, a very wealthy person. He was in the hospital. He was having a child, and unfortunately, the child today is not well, and it was already problematic from the time of when his wife was pregnant with the child. But they went to a special hospital. The whole Gansamaisa, the whole story. And when he was there, the baby was born. And he was here over Shabbos, and he went to daven in the minyan, and the Sefer Torah was possible. So in the middle of laning, they stopped laning. It was a small death, probably barely 10 people in the chapel on Shabbos. It was possible. So he goes up to his wife and he tells his wife the Sefer Torah was possible, whatever. So his wife says to him, so why don't you do something about it? What should I do? The wife says, you do something. You know, here in the hospital, they were good to us over here. You should mark it. He's a very wealthy person. I know the person personally, and his wealth didn't rub off on me that I can tell you this story. Do something about it. All right, whatever. They were going through a very difficult time. A couple of weeks later, his wife says to him, did you ever do something about it? They came home with the baby. Did you ever do something about it? So he says, no. Why not? So he did something really bizarre, really crazy. I don't understand what he did. He gets on the phone, calls up a Sefer, I want to buy a Sefer Torah. Can you believe this? Yeah, like money like money like that lying around, go spend $40,000 on a Sefer Torah? And whole Ashkocha Pratis Maisa, whatever the story was, he bought a Sefer Torah, a brand new Sefer Torah. He called me up and he said, can you please come tonight? We're doing a Hachnosa Sefer Torah in my house. I said, What? Normally it's weeks in advance with whole Ganze Maisa. I come there, there's about 15 people. They write the last Oisios. They dance around for 5 minutes. They put on the mantle. I thought the guy was totally nuts. And then the next morning, the Sofer called an Uber, and they put the Sefer Torah in an Uber, $40,000 Sefer Torah, can you believe this? In an Uber, and they brought the Sefer Torah to the hospital. And the chaplain of the hospital, who was a frum shatter, was waiting outside to take the Sefer Torah, and he took the Sefer Torah in, and they put it in the Aron Kodesh in this hospital. Bizarre, like for whatever reason he wanted to do this. He felt, because whatever he had, the whole, there's a lot behind whatever, his child, whatever. All right, about 2 years later, a miracle happened to him. His wife was pregnant again. The Ramesh miracle with a healthy child. And they didn't need to go to this hospital, but because already the other child, the whole story, they decided, let's go back. And they didn't really need to go. It's very common to go all the way to Oda. They went to the hospital during Aseres Yimei Teshuva. Okay, I remember he asked me to come to his house to blow shofar for his wife on Rosh Hashanah. So I went on Rosh Hashanah, I blew shofar. It was about like 4:30 in the afternoon. Blue Schäufer, and then like two days later, his wife went into the hospital to have a baby and had a healthy, Baruch Hashem, beautiful baby. He was there. And before she gave birth, she was in labor. That was going to take some time. Oh, Mincha! Aseres he made Teshuvah. Aseres he made to go down for Mincha. Now, he knew he had a Sefer Torah, but it wasn't on his mind. Totally, okay, the Gadar Mincha. Oh, he goes down there. He comes late to Mincha. Like he never comes on time. This guy. He comes late to Mincha. Zavi Mincha. He's in the middle of Shemona. So he's in the middle of Shemona. The silent Shemona. Now during Aseres he made Teshuva. You say Avinu Malkeinu, and you open up the Aron HaKodesh. And because Aseres he made Teshuva, the place was packed. You didn't even know why there's so many people there. Because I guess from the neighborhood, the place of Mamad, the chapel, the place is packed. Everyone came down Mincha. Aseres he made Teshuva. So he's davening Mincha, He's in his Chazor Sashatz. He's still diving the silent Shimon Esrei. The problem at the very end of Chazor Sashatz, he's sitting there, in the corner, all the way in the back, an anonymous person, doesn't know anyone, takes his step back, opens up his eyes, and the Gabbai there points at him with like a you, psicha, you, like you, do psicha, okay? Doesn't totally fluster, goes up, opens the Aron, and what does he see in front of him?
His Sefer Torah.
His wife is in labor. Now, what do? You're a Gabbai, a woman in labor. Who do you give psicha to? To the husband. His wife right now is in labor. Open up. His Sefer Torah. Finishes mincha. Goes upstairs. 5 minutes later, Mazel Tov. It's like bizarre as can be. And then he stayed for Shabbos and he named that baby on that Sefer Torah. Got the Aliyah and he named it, he made a little Kiddush there in the hospital. It's like you call to the Torah. It's a holy thing. People don't take it. The seriousness of how serious. It's a minor prophecy. It's a real shame, like Gaboim, I'm sure Baruch and you have two Gaboim over here. Anyone else know Gaboim?
Yes.
Three is another Gaboim. Ir Shekula Gaboim.
Emotions are all Gaboim.
Everyone is a Gaboim. Once a Gaboim, you're always a Gaboim. Chaim Berlin. They have a whole convention of Gaboim, no? Gaboim came Mars. Once a Gaboim is a Gaboim. You know, some Gaboim, you make the Mishra Beirach. They don't do it right. A Gabbai, you know, there's a way to make a Misha Berach. The only time, I'm sure by you, it's very chashuv, but I was once in the Eretz Yisrael, I went to Eretz Yisrael, and I go to my brother where he davens. They have, hey, mom should look forward to going there. You ever hear such a story? You look forward to going to, why do you look forward to going to a shul? The rabbi, you wonder, the rabbi speaks very well. The people, you like the people. You like how the rabbi darshins, you like the Bali Tzvila, you like the shul, the edifice, right? I never heard someone yet tell me they go because they like the Bal Kriya. I never heard such a thing. What?
Of course.
I don't know. I've
Everybody likes something different, but it's
something different.
He goes quick enough, he goes
slow. Everyone has a reason why they like davening a certain shul. Did you ever hear someone say to you, I'm looking forward to going to this shul, because I really enjoy how the Gabbai makes the Misha Berach for the Oilim.
I just heard this that in a shul, I'm not going to mention this, it's a Rebbe's, big Rebbe's place in Baltimore. The Rebbe gets always shishi every week, and he makes a Misha Berach. They sell the schus to buy in the shishi to get the Misha Berach.
They sell what the schus was.
You're buying a
lease,
buy it. You buy it. You're buying the schus for him. Shishi for every week.
Yeah.
And he makes a mishaber for you every week.
Oh, he the Rebbe makes it for you.
And then he makes a mishaber
for you.
You know what I'm going for?
What?
You know how much I went for? Baltimore. We're talking $32,000 Ashkenazi million. We're not talking five.
$32,000. I never heard of something like that kind of money for anything. But I tell you, it's funny. When I go to my brother, I look forward to going to shul. You know why? I love the Gabbai. And the Gabbai is not making a Mashiach for me. It's just the way he conducts himself, the way he calls up people, and the way he makes the Misha Berach. It's just really, it's really beautiful. The way his chita chadibur, the way he says that's kavana, and like he has a koyach, the way he makes the misha berach. You ever hear such a crazy thing? I'm looking forward to davening in this shul because not the rabbi, not the balei tefila. The place is a dump. The whole thing is merely, you know, they can need a lot of money to renovate. But I'm just I don't know what the word is. I'm taken. By the Gabbai, the way the Gabbai conducts himself at the Bima, the way it's just a sight to see. It's the pleasure. I'm like, wow, some of the shuls that I go to, it's very sad. It's a lost opportunity. It's an art.
What do you make of somebody donated a Sefer Torah? The first Shabbos, for whatever reason, was like pushed off 1 week for him to get his Aliyah. He gets an Aliyah the first week that they're using the Sefer for the first time. And he donates this in memory of his father, and he was absolutely the Sefer Torah. Only of the Chai.
Oid Avichai. Which one was missing?
Chai.
The ches was missing. The letter was missing.
The whole word.
The whole word Chai. How they get the computer check? It's shocking, right? Oid Avichai. It's shocking. It's like mamish minas shemayim. Oda, he got the aliyah, and the word Chai is missing. Shocking.
Dedicated
for his father, and the word Chai is missing, and this whole thing was Melchizedek. What does that mean exactly? Wow. Unbelievable. Bishop, by the way, there's a halacha. I don't know if you know this halacha. There's a halacha. I don't know if you, the Rambam says, if you find a psul in the first time you learn from a Sefer Torah, you don't do anything. It's the Rambam says this. It's like a chosan during the Shiva Asimei Hamishte, it has a negat soras, you don't go to the Kohen. The Rambam says, a Sefer Torah the first week is a chosan, it's like a chosan during Sheva Brachas, and if there's a psul in the Sefer Torah, you don't take out another Sefer Torah. It's a Rambam. It seems so.
It was the second
week.
They didn't use it the first week.
I don't know if we pass it like this Rambam, because the Rambam holds. It could be we don't pass it. The Rambam holds that Bechlal.
That they did use it the first week. They
waited 1 week.
And then they see
the Rambam Bechlal holds that you light a lane from Apostle Sefer Torah Mechatchila. So I don't know if this Rambam is so. You light a lane from. If you have nothing else, you can lane from. So this seems to go together with someone. No, so we don't pass on the Rambam. We're samach on the Rambam. The Rambam holds you do not need a kosher Sefer Torah to be yoytze kriyas haTorah. This is the Rambam's halach. Pesach halach. The Rambam, you don't need a kosher Sefer Torah. We rely upon that when you find the mistake. If you find the mistake, let's say you lay in the whole parasha, and now the very last pasuk you find the mistake. You find the mistake in the very last parasha. So you go and you take out another. You lay in the whole parasha again? No. After you've already laid. No matter what the psul is. You're missing a whole pasuk. You're missing a whole pasuk, and you've already laid. You just take out. Let's say you find during Shishi. You just take out another Sefer Torah, and you continue where you find the mistake. You don't go back and relay everything you've learned until now. But why? It's possible for sure. A whole pasuk is missing. When you have already laid and you discover a mistake, then we rely upon the Rambam, who holds that you don't need a kosher Sefer Torah. L'chadchilo, you're not allowed to make a bracha on the Sefer Torah if you know that it's not kosher. But once you have already made a bracha, you've already learned a number of aliyos, and now you discover a psul, you don't go back and reread the entire parasha. I know you'll show me there are people who do that. But that's not accepted. That's something which no one does. No matter what. That's very easy. That's too easy. That's way too easy. I'm talking about where you're missing words. You're missing a letter. There's no way in the world you can say that it's happened now. It didn't happen now. You're missing a word. You don't go back. That is the halacha. You do not go back, and you do not go back to the beginning of the parasha. You go back to the three psukim at most, and you continue where you left off. If you're able to, when you want to, you should really make another 7 aliyos from where you go until the very end. But you do not go back and relay the beginning of the parasha. Why? Yisoymech on the Rambam that says you don't need a kosher Sefer Torah, and especially if you already laid the entire parasha. I know a story this year. I know the person firsthand. He got Chosin Torah, and they found the psul in the last line of the Sefer Torah. It was psul. He said it was very obvious. They lay 20 times. You know, they give out that Sefer Torah, and someone spit. and it caused it to get smudged, and it was 100% pasul, and they said, Le'ene kol Yisrael, what's that? It's pasul. What do you do? There's nothing you can do. You're done. You give nothing you can do, so you go and you make the bracha, you light it, even I make the bracha. There are two mahal from what you're supposed to. Most Mishnah Berurah is surprising that you make the bracha, you find the psul. The person who gets the aliyah, he makes a bracha acharoina, asher nosan lanu. What do you mean? It's mamish pasul. You're samech on the Rambam. Unbelievable. Okay, this is a yisoid over here, a prophecy over here. It was kedai to go through this because over here there's a very good idea. He Rabbi Yochanan found the Rish Lakish only emily pisukach. Tell me what you learned today. I want to hear a divine message from Shemayim. Oh, the other one more thing that we do today that's similar to this. And what is that? The Goyrel Hagra. Anyone know what the Goyrel Hagra is? The Goyrel Hagra. There's a certain type of chumash. You have to know. I have a whole sefer on the Goyrel. We want to give a whole shiur on the Goyrel. There's a tradition that if a person needs to know what to do, so you nish. You take a chumash and you go back and forth 7 times, and you put your finger on the place. There's a whole system. There's a whole tradition how to do it. First of all, you need to use a special chumash, which is not available today. You have to get a hold of this. There's a chumash which has two columns on each page. There's a certain chumash which is a very old chumash, and the Mesorah is you only can do it with that chumash. Why? It's not chumash. It's a Tanakh. And you have to go back and forth 7 times, randomly. And then you put your finger in one place, and then you find that letter, and then you have to, there's a whole, so you have to skip 7 pages, 7 parashios, 7 psukim, I don't know, there's a whole system how you do it. And it tells you a pasuk. So could anyone tell you, I have a question today, I have a job offer. 2 job offers. Should I take job A or job B? Oh, take out the chumash. Hashem will tell me the answer. Ain't gonna work. The Goyrel Hagra, first of all, the Mesorah is, you only use the Goyrel Hagra if a person is lost. Amber alert. When there's an amber alert, somebody is missing. If somebody is missing, that's the Mesorah. They only really did it. By the way, 90% of the stories that you hear about the Goyrel Hagra are sheker. Okay, and not true. Vayelech, Rav Aaron didn't know, should he go to Eretz Yisrael, Rav Aaron Kotler, should he go to Eretz Yisrael or should he go to America? Vayelech Aaron likras Moshe Hamidbara. Aaron went to Mekabim to see Moshe, Marv Moshe Feinstein, in the Midbar in America. The story is a lie, an outrageous lie. The whole family down the line will tell you the story, Lohoyev Lenivra, whoever made up this nonsense story. Okay, so all in the book, all half the stories about the Goyrel Hagra stories are total lies. The Goyrel Hagra was done traditionally or when someone was missing, a child was missing, a person is missing. Where should we go look for him? He may be in Sakana. To do a Goyrel Hagra, you have to fast. You have to do teshuva. You have to sit and fast, and even though could you have to fast for a few days to be mispala, that you should have siyata d'shmaya. The Gedolei Yisrael that did this in previous generations, they would fast, they would be metahir themselves, bring themselves up to a very high spiritual level, and then they did the Goyrel Hagra for very unique situations.
For Moshe's true story?
What?
That he wanted Moshe to leave, and he did the Goyrel Hagra by Yirach Moshe?
No. I don't think so. A lot. I think about it. I don't know. A lot of the stories in this book, they interview. They ask the family, the Pemol, and they say, we know about this, and it's a total lie. Okay, a lot of these stories are not true stories. And again, the Goyrel Hagra was not just stop, should I go here and go there? The Goyrel Hagra, the Mesorah, was when someone is lost. You know when these 3 boys were lost a couple of years ago? What were their names?
Three that were kidnapped by the Arabs?
Were killed. Yeah. Frankel, and the other thing, there was those 3 boys, so they went to Gedolim to do the Goyrel Hagra, and the Gedolim said, they said, I remember the whole story. They went to a god and he says, I don't have koyach, I can't do it. I have to fast. You can't just stop do it. You have to fast. And he told, go to this person. And also he said, I'm not royal lekachi. This is not something I can do. You have to be at a Baal Madrega. A Baal Madrega to make the Goyrel Hagra, to you know, to be zoicha.
He's written up a Rav Aryeh Levine that he identified the bodies.
Then Rav Aryeh Levine, the famous Rav Aryeh Levine, he identified. I wanted to go see that when I was in Eretz Yisrael. I went the dafka to that cemetery. I wanted Taka to see those bodies, to see that story.
35,
right, he did a whole process to identify there were 12 bodies. So I remember the whole story. He identified the bodies, and they confirmed with the, I don't know though. There's a whole story behind that. I forgot all the details.
Suskim pointed to each one as the correct name.
And he identified the body. In that book, the Tzaddik, what's it called? What's the name of the book called?
Tzaddik in Our Times.
Tzaddik in Our Times. Fascinating to the girl who grew up. I've Aryeh Levine, I'm not related to him, unfortunately. he identified, okay, the whole, it's a very fascinating story. But this is a communication from above. But you have to be a Baal Madrega. Probably the only thing we have really left today is getting an Aliyah out of nowhere. That's the only thing. We go from direct communication with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, prophecy, to a baskal, to asking a child or a shaita, tell me your pasuk, to a girl hagra, but a girl hagra today, who's zechut, who could do a girl hagra? All we got left today is you get an Aliyah, uncalled for. You walk in the shul, they call you up. They call you up to the Torah. What does it say in the Aliyah? That's a spooky message. What do we have left? What aim lanu shiur rak haTorah hazeh? It is the most holy of holies, a sefer Torah b'kedusha, written b'kedusha v'tahara, and they call you up to the sefer Torah. This is it. Eim lanu shiur rak haTorah hazeh. It's always kedai to get an Aliyah. It happens so quick. You all find Aliyah. What does it say over here? When the Aliyah is over, open up a Chumash. Read it again. Read the Rashis. It's going to be something that's going to jump out at you. Hashem is speaking to you. He's giving you a message. It's that's all we got left. Let's go from over here and then Zman Chazal.
It's given over to the
Gabbai.
The
Gabbai is Rosh Tevis. Honor B'Koyach Gedulas Hashem. Rosh Tevis. Not in order.
Because he's heaped on with so much bizarreness, he gets that sentence.
Interesting what you're saying. He's saying a very good part. The choishedim, also shad. Ha choished b'ksherim. No, that's the one that's choished. the one that's suspected, he's zeichet to bracha. The gabbai is always suspect. He's always, chutzpah, you do this. It's true, the Gabbai, there are three people that stand by the Bima. The Gabbai, the Koyre, and the Oyla. The Gabbai corresponds to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Koyre corresponds to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Oyla is Yisrael, Klal, it's Matan Torah. Every time you get an Aliyah, it's Matan Torah. The Gabbai is Ribbono Shel Olam. The Oyla is Klal Yisrael. And Moshe is the one that transmits. He reads the psukim. He transmits from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Gabbai is the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's pretty good. I once,
or he thinks he is.
He thinks he is. So I always tell you this joke. I had
500 names.
What?
A Gabbai has to remember 500 names.
Well, you have a. It depends on the Gabbai. Right. It depends on the shul. It depends on a lot of things. If a lot of Gabbai in there. So I once lived in a certain place, and we had a Gabbai, and you know, there's a relationship between the Baal Kriya and the Gabbai, because you know, fast, you know, there's a whole mahalach. Sometimes you have the relationship. So one week the Gabbai wasn't there. I had a different Gabbai. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know ben yilinin l'smol. So I was the Baal Kriya, and this was the new Gabbai, and it was a disaster. So the next week, when the Gabbai came back, I said, that the Gabbai is connected to Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, don't go away. Lo yihye lecha Elohim acherim al ponai. I don't want any other gods. If the Gabbai is the Ribbono Shel Olam, don't take a week off. You gotta, we're a team, we gotta stay together. Okay, with that being said, let's go back over here to the pasuk. What did he say? He said, our pasuk over here is aser ta aser. What does the pasuk over here say? Emily pisukeich, amalei aser ta aser. Wow, what a good pasuk. The child's basically telling this guy, you're going to strike it rich. Because as we learned, don't read it aser to aser, like aser to asher, with the shin, right? That's the drasha, aser to aser. Omalei hayel Rabbi Yochanan. The yelet said to Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan found this, his nephew, this really was his nephew. Tell me a pasuk, aser to aser. Omalei hayel Rabbi Yochanan, umay aser to aser. Isn't it amazing the child then says to Rabbi Yochanan, what does it mean? What does it mean? Omalei, he told him, aser b'shvil shetis asher with a shin. Omalei, so the child said to Rabbi Yochanan, minolach, how do you know that this is the pshat? That's not what it says in the pasuk. The pasuk says, aser to aser, two sins, tithe. You shall certainly, it's an expression, dibri tarik l'sham b'nei adam, the pasuk is telling you that you shall certainly give off, you shall tithe. Omalei minolach, omalei, zil nase, you don't believe me? You know, there's an incredible thing. Rabbi Yochanan says to the child, test Hashem. Go, you know, I'm telling you, the way I'm going to prove it to you that I'm right is, why don't you try it? How much you have meiser to give? He's a child. How much meiser can he possibly have? What does he have? He has assets, the child. Test Hashem. Give meiser and let's see, report back to me if Hashem gives you, makes you rich from giving a donation. Amalei, so the child said to Rabbi Yochanan, you're allowed to do that. He's a smart kid. This kid is a smart kid. He says, are you allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You know, your children are very, I'll tell you one, I had a very spooky story. Last week, I dived in yeshiva, so the Rashid, he asked me a toiva, I should take the Sefer Torah to the Sofer to repair, they said they need to repair. There's a certain thing they need to repair. All right, fine. So I went during the afternoon, And it's not so far from here, the yeshiva, and the sofer is I went to Tiferet Stam, so I can go with the car. I don't want to. It's a few blocks, and to go park. There's no parking, so I took a kid out of the yeshiva with me. Come escort me. We'll walk. I wrapped up in the talus. I don't know if it was the right thing to do, but that's what I did, because it's gonna be impossible to get a car. So we walked. I took a kid with me. We walked. Escorted the sofer to the sofer. So as we're going, there's a yeshiva. This really shook me up. There's a yeshiva, a new yeshiva, where the funeral home used to be.
Yeah, a Sfaradi yeshiva.
They put a lot of money into the building. They totally renovated the building. And now I see, when we go there, they close off the street. That locus, that street between Chaim Berlin and the funeral home, where used to be the funeral style yeshiva, they have a gate. And when the kids recess, when it comes recess, they slide out the gate, and they close off the street, and the kids, they play in that little street. That's what they do. I don't know. That's what they do. So going by there, and I would say about 15 kids. Little kids. These are little kids. How old are these kids? I don't know. 5 years old, 6 years old. Little kids. They're running around. And I'm walking with this guy. We're carrying a Sefer Torah, wrapping the palace. And the kids, they're playing. One kid, all of a sudden, while we're playing, he freezes. He stops. And he looks at Torah. And all the other kids, nothing. They're running around. I'm not. I'm like, the kid, like that little kid. He's like, how? He stops. So I said to the guy, I said, Muftachani, that kid that stopped and he looked up and he froze, he's going to be a big Talmud. He had that sensitivity. All the other kids are fine, little tiny. How are they even supposed to know, these other kids, whatever. They're running around, and that one kid, he froze. He has that sensitivity. Someone put that sensitivity into the Kedusha Sefer Torah. It really, like, wow. Like, you know, there are simonim. You see a kid, you know, you see, I really wonder, I should have taken his name. I should be around to see what, you know, what became of him. Unbelievable.
I'll tell you what happened to a different kid. This was in high school. My son was in high school many years ago. We were playing their school. And one of the kids got hit in the face with a basketball. Now, what would a normal young kid do hit in the face? This kid screams out, Ze kapara l'lashon hara. Today, he's a big, big Talmud Chacham, Rebbe Rosh Hashiva.
Wow.
Does he still play basketball?
It's all there. I'm sure he does. Once you play basketball, you always play basketball. That doesn't go away. Yeah, it's amazing. This child over here is a pretty good kid. He says to him, are you allowed to do that? Can you imagine? He's telling you, Rabbi Yochanan, the God, Rabbi Yochanan is the Gadol Hador. Rabbi Yochanan, some say he lived, that's what they say, for 400 years. Can you imagine? Rabbi Yochanan, he was the one who wrote the Talmud Yerushalmi. Me longu Gadol Rabbi Yochanan. The Haluk Rabbi Yochanan, the Mora, the Asher, the Eretz Yisrael. And this kid says, Rabbi Yochanan, what? You allowed to do that? He's telling Rabbi Yochanan, what are you talking about? You know, what are you talking about? Umi Sharil and Asuya, you let him go test him? This was his nephew, by the way. Maybe he had a different relationship with him. Umi Sharil and Asuya, La Kadosh Baruch Hu, V'yachsev lo yisin Asuya Sashem, Amalei, Hachim Rabbi Hoshaya, Chutz Mizu, you're allowed to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, Havi Yis Kol Amas Vel Beis Oitza, V'yitar Vel Beis V'chunin Rabbi Zoyis, V'amar Hashem Tzivokas, V'lo Yitar Lekam Meis, Arim Zashmaim, V'har Yikos Lam Berachat B'li Doi. Now that was one. Now this Gemara is a very deep Gemara. Let me this Gemara for this to appreciate this Gemara, you need the background of a Gemara in Masechet Moed Katan. I don't have the Gemara on the tip of my tongue, but the Gemara there was where there was a Rabbi Chia. Maybe it was with Rabbi Chia. I'm not mistaken. He told his children, "You see this person? He's an Adam, a Baal Tzura, something along those lines. He's a person of form, Tzura." It means like you mint coins. Go to him. He told his children, go to him for a bracha. So the children go. They knock on his door. And our father came to ask, told we should get a bracha from you. So he tells them like a riddle, which almost sounds like a curse. The Gemara, I think, the Gemara in Masechet Moed Katan, Daf Yudalid maybe, something around over there. But Aleph, I don't know, it's a certain Gemara and Morikar. And he says something, and he says like these really bizarre things which appear to be a curse. So the children come back, and the father says, Nunu, what was the bracha? It's bracha. Not only did he give us, he cursed us. He mamash cursed us. Let me hear, what he say to you? And the children repeat word for word what he said, and Rabbi Chia explains to them, it was really like a code words. He gave them the most beautiful bracha you could ever get in your heart. The words that he wrote are like classic. It's like what he says here in the Gemara, they print this up on certain like the brachas, different events. It's like the most beautiful thing in the entire Shas, what he goes on to say. So there, all the Mepharshim asked the question. They asked the question, and this really mamash fits down the Gemara like a glove. So why didn't this person who we went to, this person, Shal Tzura, why didn't he give the bracha? Why did he have to go and say to them the bracha in a riddle? So he should go and they should go back to their father, dejected, and say to their father, he cursed us. And the father explains, he didn't curse you, he gave you a bracha. So the old Mepharshim should give the same answer. This person who was praised to be a person of stature, he wanted that their own father should bless them. Like Friday night, right? Yisimcha lokim kefrayim chamanasha. So he bidafka said it to them in a riddle, so they should go and go back to their father and say, I don't know what this guy is talking about. So their father should now, in essence, bless his own children. Being that the father now needs to repeat the words and explain to the children what these words mean, in essence, their own father is now blessing his own children. So here, look what's happening. That idea is exactly what's happening here in this Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan here has a dilemma in his life. Right? He has a dilemma. There's something going on in his life. There's something going on in his life that he doesn't know what to do. So he does what everyone does, what you're supposed to do. I mean, we don't do this today. It's not going to work today. Is Emelim Psukech. You go on the street, you look for a kid. I don't know, should I take this job? Should I take that job? Should I do this? What should I do? So you go find a kid. No. Tell me what you learned today. So ordinarily, the kid will tell you a pasuk. Oh, pasuk. Okay, I now know what to do. It's much more than that. This dialogue. The kid, tells Rabbi Yochanan the pasuk, and Rabbi Yochanan should walk away and aser to aser, which I would imagine, what does aser to aser mean? Well, it could mean many things. There are many Mamari Chazal. The kid The shocking thing about the story is the child then says, Rabbi Yochanan, I went to class today, but I wasn't listening. I was fooling around. The Rabbi taught us aser to aser, but I wasn't really, so, you know, they're going to test me tomorrow. Rabbi Yochanan, tell me, what does it mean? Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what it means? Aser b'shvil shetis asher. And then the kid says, are you allowed to do that? Rabbi Yochanan says, so the end is, Rabbi Yochanan himself goes me'inyin into another inyin, uvichanu lino b'zois amah Hashem tzivokos in lo'i eftach lechem arubos hashvad v'anikos lechem baruch ad v'lidai. What did Rabbi Yochanan in essence do? Rabbi Yochanan blessed the child. Rabbi Yochanan ended up, Rabbi Yochanan went, I need help. What should I do? So the kid tells him, aser to aser. But when the conversation was over, Rabbi Yochanan said to the child, v'harikoisi lochem brocha ad b'lidai. The child ended up getting a greater bracha. Who better can you get a bracha from Rabbi Yochanan? You know all these Hasidic Shemaislach with the Litvaks? the Chavetz Chaim, or the Vilna Goyen, all these stories when they were very, very old. And as a Maisel with the Vilna Goyen, I think, or maybe it was the Chavetz, different stories, all the same stories. He needed water from the Tilas Yodayim, and the child went and he brought him water. And the Chofetz Chaim put his hands on the child's face. Oh, thank you. You shall live long. That person ended up living over 100. And that person said, why am I living? I'm over 100 years old. I'm healthy. Doesn't matter. Everyone's gone. Long gone. Because I saw the Chofetz Chaim was by Shaul HaShodes. And he didn't have water. So I went and I ran. I got him water. I brought him the water to him. And the Chofetz Chaim put his hands on my face. And he said, thank you. You shall live long. The words, you should live long, came out of me, that's why I'm still alive today. So here, Rabbi Yochanan goes, now that's what the Chofetz Chaim, alachas kama v'kama, ben b'neshul kama v'chama, Rabbi Yochanan, he wrote the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Mora, the Asher, the Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Hilik, Rabbi Yochanan, he's probably one of the most powerful people in the Talmud and in the Shas, Rabbi Yochanan. And the Mamash volumes of who he was. Everything that Rabbi Yochanan lived, he had an incredible Rabbi Chas Yamin. And what he accomplished is not even believed. And he says to the child, V'harikoisi lochem b'rocha ad b'lidai. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't walking around today and going and doing this. And then going around and giving brachas. This wasn't his business to walk around and give brachas to people the whole day. How is it shaykh that this child is going to get a bracha from the Gadol Hadar that he cursed lechem bracha ad b'lidai? You know how Hashem arranges things? Hashem has a sense of humor. Because Rabbi Yochanan is sitting there, has a very big dilemma. What should I do? I got a very big problem. I've agmas nefesh. No, let me go to the yard and find the kid. He'll tell me what to do. Aser to aser. The child says, what are you talking about? You allowed to do that? You allowed to go test Hashem? What we learned in Cheder last year, Loisan Aser es Hashem. No, it says in the Pasuk, what we learned over here, I'm going to bless you. Rabbi Yochanan says this to a child. Rabbi Yochanan is giving the child an essence, an incredible bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows how to arrange things. Who comes out the winner? All right, we're going to start. I'll just tell you a funny joke, right? Before it's not a joke, it's a pretty sad state of affairs. I was in Shabbos somewhere, so in somebody went to a very big Rosh Yeshiva. He had a very big dilemma in life. And he went to one of the biggest Rosh Yeshivas in America today. Very, very holy person. And then he said to them, they had no conversation. He said, in the conversation, this big Rosh Yeshiva said to him, you know what Rosh Yeshivas do today? To be a Rosh Yeshiva, you have to only do two things. What would you say? You would think Rosh Yeshiva gives shiurim, that. You have to know how to pose for a picture. And you have to be able to get kids into kindergarten. You have to use your pole to help children get into kindergarten. He was complaining about himself, this Rosh Hashiva. That's all he does the whole day. He poses for pictures, and he helps parents get their kids into kindergarten. It's a pretty sad state of affairs. All right, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to learn about this week's Bris Milah, Parshas Lech Lecha. Avram was the first ger. I want to talk about the unique form of Bris Milah for gerim. The din of Bris Milah by a ger is not the same Bris Milah for a Ben Yisrael. It's a different type of Bris Milah. We'll discuss some lumdus of this issue.